Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to TCNS Clothing Company Limited Q1 FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anant Daga, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Daga.
Thank you so much. Good evening and welcome to our Q1 FY22 earnings conference call to discuss operational and financial performance for the quarter. I am joined by Amit, our CFO, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. First of all, I hope you and your near ones are safe and healthy. While the number of cases has sharply declined, we must keep up the guard and continue to remain disciplined and take all necessary steps to contain the pandemic. While Amit will share detailed financials, let me share some key highlights of Q1, our perspective on the emerging situation, and progress on key focus areas for FY22 as shared in the last call. It's heartening that in Q1, despite being a severely impacted quarter, it saw an all-round sharper sustained recovery vis-à-vis last year Q1. Overall, the Q1 revenue grew to almost 3x compared to same quarter last year, though on a lower base, but with both online and offline showing strong traction. What's encouraging about this growth is that it's more evenly spread out across tiers of cities and types of stores. Overall, in offline, Q1 saw operational days of close to 48%, and for these operational days, the recovery was about 44% against pre-COVID levels. Our online business continues to see robust growth on a significant base that we have already achieved. Our online business more than doubled in Q1, with both own website and third-party marketplaces growing similarly. A key milestone this quarter is that our D2C contributed more than half of the revenue for the first time on secondary sales basis. As on date, most of our network is operational, and the sales traction in the last couple of weeks have been extremely encouraging, being around two-thirds of pre-COVID numbers for like-to-like operational days. Though we continue to see disruptions across multiple markets, from mall closures to time and day restrictions, the momentum from Q1 continues to build further. With reduction of cases, gradual unlocking of the country, and increase in vaccinated population, we expect a strong festive season ahead. Now coming to key focus areas for FY22, the first area for us is growth of online business. As shared above, the business continued to expand at a rapid pace while we have continued to build on avenues of future growth. One of the key objectives of the last quarter was launch of omni-channel fulfillment model from our stores. It is now fully integrated, live, and stable. In addition to the endless aisle and own website omni-channel capabilities launched last year, now we are able to use EBO store inventory across multiple marketplaces, including Myntra, Flipkart, Amazon. This is a key step towards our strategy of single view of inventory across all online channels. On the product side, we are now creating digital-first products, which will go live on our website and marketplaces in next couple of months. This should further add to the D2C business growth. Second focus area this year is an accelerated store expansion plan, and we are looking to add a net of 60+ stores this year. Our expansion program will be driven along two key initiatives: Project Rise, which is upgrading our flagship stores, and Project Bharat, which is entering into tier 3, 4 markets through franchisee route. I'm very happy to share that we have already signed 40+ stores to be opened in the coming months. I'm particularly excited to share that we have signed 15+ stores for Project Rise at very attractive long-term leases. These would massively increase our brand presence and consumer experience across some of the most important retail markets across the country. Third focus area is cash conservation and cost control. Here again, we have cash reserves of about 140 crores compared to 125 crores in the same period last year. On cost front, we continue to engage with our landlord partners and are finalizing lease reductions for the year. The full impact of the same has not been considered in Q1, as many of the deals are in process of getting signed. From a full year perspective, we see at least 20% savings against our regular rent commitment, and most of them will flow in the coming quarters. As we prepare for next level of growth, we continue to invest in people, processes and infrastructure, and hence there will be limited savings on employees and overhead costs. On the focus area of Swifter Thought to Shelf, I am happy to share that we are making the targeted progress on all fronts. Our automated inventory management system, phase one, has been implemented, and now we are rolling out the planning and allocation functionality of the same. With regards to our initiative on consolidating our warehousing operations into a single warehouse, we have already consolidated all the finished good warehouses and are on track to amalgamating fabric warehouse as well. The impact of this consolidation will be visible starting end of the year, both in terms of cost and much more efficiencies. Other initiatives of express replenishment, incubation cell are also fully operational. Overall, quickly implementing our learning from the last year, we have nimbly navigated the pandemic this year while embarking on investing in key levers for future growth. I will now request Amit to take you through key financial highlights for the quarter.
Thanks, Anand. Good evening, everyone. I will be giving you an update on our financial performance in Q1. Our Q1 revenue was Rs. 94 crores, which is a growth of 189% over last year Q1. Our gross margin has improved by 500 basis points from 50.7% in Q1 last year to 55.8% this quarter. However, it continues to be significantly impacted because of skewed channel mix and impact of inventory dormancy on a lower sales base. With offline sales expected to recover in future, gross margins should gradually rise back to normalized levels. We have accounted for rent concessions of Rs. 3 crores under Ind AS 116 accounting in Q1. Many of the rent concession deals are in various stages of discussion, and we expect 20% in saving in rent expense for the full year FY22. Employee costs and other expenses are in line with what we spend in a quarter. As Anand already mentioned, we expect limited savings on these heads for the full year. The company incurred a loss of Rs. 20 crores at EBITDA level in Q1, vis-a-vis loss of Rs. 26 crores in similar period last year. At PBT level, the loss was Rs. 49 crores in Q1, versus Rs. 60 crores last year, and at PAT level, the loss was Rs. 36 crores in Q1 versus Rs. 45 crores last year. We need to look at these numbers in reference to the point that the rent savings accounted for in Q1 this year was only Rs. 3 crores versus Rs. 19.3 crores in Q1 of last year. As and when we conclude the rent concession deals, further rent savings would be accounted for in subsequent periods. During the quarter, we opened 7 new stores while we shut down 9 stores. We continue to remain focused and committed to the accelerated store expansion plan, and for the full year FY22, we expect to open 60 plus new stores on a net basis. Our cash reserve as on date is Rs. 140 crores. This is in addition to the unutilized bank limits. Thank you. We are now open to questions. Since we are the only listed entity in our segment, we might not be able to share granular details that could be competitive information, but request your understanding of the same.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Manish Poddar from Nippon India. Please go ahead.
So I have just two questions. First is, let's say, if you could probably, help me understand how is now the demand environment looking around, given that, let's say, the discount season has started. So just wanted to get some, let's say, you know, if you could give some qualitative thing, that will be helpful.
Sure. So Manish, as I just mentioned, we started end of season sales slightly late this year compared to, you know, FY 20 and 21. So it started only in third week of July, and in the last 3 weeks, what we are seeing in the operational stores, a recovery close to 70% against pre-COVID levels. Now, this is the kind of recovery last year we saw somewhere around October, so the response is extremely encouraging. And if I have to give you some qualitative inputs on that, we are seeing very interesting trends. One, after a long time, consumer is moving away strictly from a need-based shopping, and there's a lot of impulse shopping which is happening. Second, we have never seen such high proportion of full price sales in an end-of-season sale, which we have seen in the last 3 weeks. So, and third is, you know, a very, very even kind of recovery. So the most recovery is also very encouraging, which was missing last time. So these are some of the top things that we are seeing right now. And, you know, with constant vaccination and opening up, if God forbid, if there's no other major wave or something, I think this is a precursor to a strong festive. This is what we feel.
And this 70% is, let's say, like-to-like for those 3 weeks of discount which you would have in FY20. Is that how it is?
That's right. For
this is for July versus July.
Not this is July. So this is, you know, last 3 weeks of this year versus last 3 weeks. So probably third week July onwards, fourth week July onwards.
So I'm just trying to understand, you have given your end of season, like you mentioned, end of season sale was earlier this year. So are you comparing the same end of season sale this year versus FY20? Or you're comparing just July versus July 20?
We said end of season sales started late this year, not early. And we started it, say, somewhere around 19th of July. So I'm giving you a number of 19th of July till, say, about yesterday versus the same period in FY20.
Okay. One last one from my side. So I believe in a lot of the mall operators, you know, when they had given you the concession holidays, they had a clawback clause saying that, you know, in FY22 and 23, you know, they will claw back some amount of rent in terms of, let's say, revenue share. So just wanted to understand, when they had this clause, you know, did they kept the hurdle as 100 rupees sale itself, or did they get the hurdle to, let's say, 80 rupees sales? 100 is the normalized run rate.
No, Manish, so see, right now, all kind of deals have been negotiated. And I don't want to speak out of turn out here, but you know, a lot of the clauses which malls have given are also not acceptable, and hence, you know, we have not signed many of the deals yet. So all kind of models, from revenue share to clawback to, you know, long term sales related graded sales slash based rentals, all of that is negotiated depending upon, you know, the location and the business that brands and malls are doing. That's all very good.
Would it be a right understanding, let's say, if you had, let's say, a rent concession holiday in FY21, you know, some amount of that, you know, I'm not sure if that gets covered by operating leverage, but some amount of that will get, you know, increase because of all this, you know, like, let's say, key properties would increase on a YOY basis. Is that a fair understanding?
No, it's not so prevalent. It's not that prevalent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nihal Jham from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Good evening, Anant and Anand. Three questions from my side. First is, on the e-com side, it is definitely an impressive performance that we've seen a growth even over last year. But only thing is that, say, if I look at some of the other players that I have some numbers available, they have still managed to achieve what they did in, say, a pre-COVID era, or maybe close to the run rate that they were doing even till the fourth quarter of last year, that is, say, till 3 months back. So I just wanted to understand, that was it that it is the restrictions that maybe were there, or some certain fulfillment issues because of which the channel was not able to reach potential, or anything else you may want to highlight?
No, so I really could understand the question fully, because I think even on year-on-year basis and all, we have been growing at a very good rate. And my understanding, online we are performing as a, you know, our performance has been better, barring, you know, couple of weeks in July when we didn't go on aggressive discounting. So I don't know what number exactly you are comparing, Nihal. Sorry, if you could help me with that.
So Anand, if I look at an online business, it is around, I think, approximately 20 crores for this quarter. And if I look at the same corresponding number, even in, say, the Q1 of FY20, it was around 34 crores. So it is, say, around 60% of the normalized level. if you had to say it, and we were doing around 45-50 crores on a quarterly basis last year. So my question was coming from that, was there a possibility that these e-com revenues could have been, say, closer to the 30 to 40 crore range, or is it that this is the best that could be achieved in the current situation, given the restrictions that we have?
Yeah, Nihal, so for the current quarter, the share of online channel that we have also kind of mentioned in the presentation is 50%, right? So if our revenue is 93 odd crores, 50% of that has come from online channels.
Okay, I'm sorry, then maybe there must be some, I'll just check that.
But we have grown well, and this is despite the fact that for a few days, there were essential, there was ban on all non-essential items. So I think despite that, we have been able to grow meaningfully well.
Sure. I'll just check that out. Maybe it must have been wrong from my side. What I wanted to also check on was that when you speak of the Omni initiative that we are making an effort towards, ideally, Anand, how is it that that will end up, you know, helping drive sales for the, especially in terms of the fact you mentioned that now you'll be able to, say, deliver even via your store that you've got that also in panel. So just a sense on that.
So what happens is, Nihal, see, a lot of time consumers see a lot of products online, but, you know, especially in the fresh sales, a lot of the portals don't carry the entire inventory because their model is still slightly more old season merchandise. So what it does is, it doesn't expose the catalog only to the consumers. Now suppose if someone looks at an Amazon site or a Myntra site and they like the product, even if they don't have a stock, my store can ship it. So we don't lose on those sales at all. That's one. Second, what also we have seen is as the time to delivery reduces, your return rate also come down. So wherever we have a localized inventory and we can, you know, reduce our time to delivery, that also will have the metrics in terms of sales. So that's the second thing. And third is, you know, overall the same inventory pool, irrespective of the location, can be used for multiple customers, multiple portals, just, you know, enhancing its saleability. So all these really helps in when you have a strong Omni rollout.
That's helpful. Just one last question from my side, Anand, is that currently of the 60 stores that we are planning to add, what is the proportion you think will be franchise based? And if I understand right, out of the total store count of 550, approximately 30-35% will be franchise. Is that a right number?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. So I'll give you a ballpark number, but all this can change depending upon, you know, which final locations we are able to open. The idea right now is to have about 35 to 45% of franchise stores and balance owned stores.
Okay, that's helpful. And I'll just correct myself. I had read the number on the online side wrong, so take that question back.
I know. Sure. Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Varun Singh from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. So, a couple of questions. First, on the online channel, I think the previous participant has asked regarding, you know, why we are not growing as fast as compared to other companies. So, if I can put that question in a more contextual form, you know, 50% of the 93 crore is roughly 47 odd crore revenue that we are enjoying from online channel. And we reached the peak of the revenue from online close to 55 crore, and which is only in Q2 and Q3 of the last financial year, which is Q2 21 and Q3 FY21. So, I mean, from 55 crore during current quarter, only 47 crore. So it's a lower number. So, I mean, if you can help us understand that, you know, during the lockdown period, wherein really customers should be shopping more, and even if I look at your you know, Q1 FY20 number, so that is also close to 40 crore. So reducing the seasonality, I mean the quarter on quarter, I mean still we don't see a significant amount of growth compared to competition. So how, if you can help us understand, you know, how do you think about the online channel, the numbers that you are clocking?
So Varun, two parts to your question. So first, you know, is as I just explained to Nihal also, this quarter, even from online perspective, was not operational for the full 90 days. There were restrictions in many of the PIN codes for not delivering non-essentials. And that is where, you know, some sales were lost. And this, I think, is a phenomenon which everyone in the industry has faced. So there were not a lot of PIN codes, especially in the month of, you know, later part of April and early May, wherein things were disrupted. Second, coming to your point about, you know, growth rate, see, so growth rate is one, but we'll also have to consider the base. At the base level, our sales are probably, we are, I'm not very sure which other players you are talking about, but compared to wider industry, I think our base is also far higher and stronger. So we invested in this capability probably ahead of many of the other players. I think if you take that effect also into place, online, at least for the operational period, we thought we saw very, very strong traction and good growth.
Okay, and so my second question is on MBO channel. So this is a channel, you know, wherein we drive this, scale this business up to a significant level, and we were enjoying kind of 40-odd crore of revenue historically. But that 40 crore has now kind of, you know, vanished. And now, I mean, in presentation, I could not find revenue contribution from MBO. It must have been clubbed with online and others because, of course, over the last 3-4 quarters, it contributed hardly 0 to 3%. But how do you, you know, explain the kind of revenue that we were drawing earlier and why we are not able to revive this channel? And how do you think about milking this channel going forward?
So, Varun, I think this is something which we have discussed over last few calls also, but let me just reiterate. See, MBO, we started with a rationalization exercise wherein, you know, we changed the business model, we changed the approach to the business. And if you look at it, subsequently, entire industry, most of the players have rationalized this channel at some point in time or other. Now, when this COVID hit, COVID wave one happened, the most impacted channel was MBO. And you know, to take, we didn't want to take an aggressive credit call, and hence we just simply downstalled that channel. So there were a lot of secondary sales happening, but we were not booking any primary sales. The billing again started this year, the spring summer, wherein in Q4 you would see some built up. Having said that, the wave two hit, and typically first quarter is not a very big MBO billing month also because they work on seasonal billing. So for festive, you should see some numbers coming back in Q2. From a long-term perspective, I don't think MBO channel would hit the same run rate that they were earlier because of, you know, all this movement from unbranded to branded, unorganized to organized, and this channel continues to be in stress right now. But you should see some good traction starting Q2 for the festive build-up. So, you know, earlier MBO used to be 8 to 10% of the business. We all earlier also mentioned probably this channel won't be at those levels. It could be at 4-5% levels. But at that level, it will come back, provided we get a good 6-month no disruption runway.
Thank you very much, sir. And sir, just one last question, if I may squeeze in. On store closures, so on a net-net basis, sir, as we observe over last 4 quarters, so we have been closing constantly, for example, in Q1, 21, 8 stores, then 13, and then 10. And this quarter on net basis, we closed 2 stores. So we don't see this much amount of store closure in case of other competition. So how do you, you know, explain these store closures and how as an analyst we should be gaining confidence in terms of store addition that we are doing going forward? I mean, the 60 store addition guidance that you have given. If you can help us understand this store closures compared to competition. That's all from my side. Thank you very much.
Sure, Varun, a very fair question. So again, see, I don't know whom you are comparing us with as competition, because as far as I know, in my trade, most of the guys have really curtailed down their store count over the last 5 quarters. And I think it was a very, very logical thing to do because, see, we took a very aggressive step, both in terms of what real estate at what price we can get now. And our stores typically are not high capex stores, unlike, you know, lot of the big boxes. So our cost of shutting down a store and then the opportunity gain that we can get from locking in better real estate at lower prices made sense for us to go very aggressive on this. And this is what we have been telling last year also. So now we have rationalized the store base. There would be few closures, 20-25 closures, which will happen every year. Apart from that, COVID wave 2 would make it another 4-5 stores. So those kind of closures will continue in future. On the confidence on, you know, new stores, so as on date, as we speak, they have already signed 40 plus stores. By Q2 net addition, you won't see a very big number, but from Q3, you should see a 20 plus store addition every quarter. So all those are signed, all those are in pipeline, and I think you'll start to see the impact very soon.
That's very helpful, sir. Thank you very much for the, such a detailed answer, sir.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Jaspreet Walia from Newmark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, in your presentation, you mentioned that you'll be introducing online-first collection pretty soon. So could you please explain that how would this collection be different from your usual collection? Are you trying to address different price points or different kind of styles?
Yeah, good evening. That's a very nice question. And see, what happens is, we are a mix-and-match brand wherein, you know, consumers come to stores, they look at various tops, various bottoms, and they mix-and-match and create looks. This is one thing which is still slightly a challenge in online. And what we have seen is, you know, there is a consumer base who just want to buy sets, maybe a two-piece or three-piece. So what we are doing is we are creating those ensembles which are easier to pick. Because we don't have this big challenge in the stores, we are not replicating the same thing out here. But this is essentially what we are doing on online. So some two-piece sets, some slightly more entry price point dresses and those kind of stuff, which we look at, you know, being a missing part in our collection offline, which is not also required in offline, but probably online could do more justice to the kind of consumers that come.
And how would the price points be different from your usual price points which you have at physical retail?
So, see, it's a different product category essentially. So like-to-like comparison won't be possible, but yes, the prices could be in the range of 10% plus minus. That's the kind of thing. We are not going, you know, down the line of a very, very, very low price point or anything like that. It's more about the way product is constructed.
Got it. Sir, as far as your Omni initiative is concerned, so what's the status right now on the execution front? What has already been achieved and what is left? And whatever is left, by when will the full initiative be rolled out?
So, you know, we have rolled out our Omni initiative in close to 100-odd stores now. In the phase one, we had just our website, our own website attached. Now we have three major partners also who are on board. In next 6 months, you'll find more and more marketplaces getting integrated into the Omni, and the Omni store count also will increase from 100 to probably 150, 175-odd stores.
Got it. And when would all your stores be covered under this initiative, or that is not required?
So all the stores are not required because, see, in every city, every geography, not all the stores are required. So we'll be slightly selective because, see, it's an initiative which is good to talk about, but it actually takes a lot of effort on the ground, you know, the staff training, the packaging, and it's a very different thing to execute. So I think we'll cover all the major geographies with required number of stores, but the intent is not to roll out it to 100% stores in the near future.
Got it. And you said three major fashion portals have already been onboarded on your Omni initiative, and six are left.
No, I said few others are left, so there are smaller marketplaces also.
Okay.
And one or two major players, so those are left.
Got it. Thanks a lot, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Anant. Thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. So assuming COVID impact to be restricted to FY22 only, by when do we expect returning to our per-store revenue run rate?
Per-store revenue run rate?
Yeah, that is, which is...
I think the way sales are building up, if there's no major disruption, this year itself, you should see that coming back because, you know, it's been much better than last year. And I believe post-festive, if the momentum continues, then probably we are looking at, even if not pre-COVID, very near pre-COVID this year itself.
Okay, so my question was, you know, can expansion into tier two, three, four cities through franchisee route delay per-store revenue recovery?
Oh, no, sorry. Okay, so that's your question. See, if you look at it, it's a two-pronged strategy, right? One, we are getting into tier two, tier three, and tier two markets are very good. Tier three, three, or four, where the revenues could be slightly lower per store. But at the same time, we are having, you know, our target is to have at least 30-plus Project Rise stores, which are all the biggest markets. So, for example, you know, the leading mall in Mumbai or the leading high street in Delhi, where we have all increased our store sizes by two times. So I think that will more than compensate for, you know, lower revenue stores in tier 3, 4 markets. If at all, I think at least for this year, it should increase once all these stores are rolled out.
Sure. Secondly, larger players like ABFRL also have indicated aggressive plans with entry at similar price points. And secondly, you know, the focus also remains on increasing share of private labels in their stores. So I wanted to pick your thoughts on how are we guarding ourselves from these threats?
See, out here, as we always say, see, ethnic is one of the most attractive spaces right now, and the momentum that we expect to see post this phase would excite, you know, all major players. So we are not very surprised that, you know, many other players would also want to enter the segment. Private labels, again, you know, for as many years I've been in this state, they have always been focusing on private label. But see, brands play a role and private labels play a role. And this is what I've always said, unless you know you have a strategy of 100% private business, typically you will have the strongest brands. And that's where, you know, as a brand, irrespective of whoever is coming into the fray or, you know, adding to it, you have to ensure that your brand pool, your differentiated product bouquet, and your return metrics on the shop floor all works in your favor. So I think we'll be investing, and as we speak, we are investing in all these things, in brand building, in strengthening the product portfolio, in the ways we are reaching our consumers, our back-end efficiency. So I think this is where the brands compete, and that is what we'll continue to do.
Sure. Thanks. I have more questions. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Varun Singh from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Just one bookkeeping question. On other income, there has been a significant decline. So currently it's only 3 crore as compared to, you know, the run rate of 17-18 crore that it was reflected in the books, you know, over last 2-3 quarters. So if you can give us some, you know, comment on why it has declined so significantly, and you know, what kind of number we should expect going forward, given the, you know, we have more cash balances. So I was quite confused in terms of, you know, if we have so much of liquid fund, then why other income has declined by so much? If you can help us with that.
Hi, Varun. This is Amit. So I'll draw your attention to the note number 5, where we have mentioned that last year for this quarter, we recorded rental concessions under other income. So that was to the tune of 12 crores. You know, so first, whatever rental concessions we got, we adjusted it against the rental expenses for that quarter, and any remainder we had disclosed under other income. So if you you know, remove that 12 crores from the last year's number, so it was about 4 crores, against which this quarter we have recognized 3 crores in other income. So it is fairly comparable if you account for the rental concessions.
Okay, understood. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. Sir, for 11, this question is for 11. So Go Colors has been expanding by about 100-150 stores per year in today's filing, DRHP filing. So can we also see such a pace of expansion in this category once we achieve the desired unit metrics?
Yes, see, this is a very, this is a category where expansion could be very, very fast, because, you know, typically they are like, it sits well with high street, local markets, malls, and again the model is pretty standard, with product lines being very standard and the store box being very standard. So you are right, once we have the proof of concept, once we have one season going, the scale up could be meaningfully faster. This itself, you know, could, on a conservative basis, if everything works well, you can open 30, 40, 50 stores of this every year, like only 11.
Okay. So this 50 would be still lower than what they are opening, right?
I'm just saying, you know, when you start scaling up from the pilot phase to the first scale up, I think you also need to take into account the kind of entire supply chain, entire coordinates. So I was just mentioning to you, this is the least that, you know, a brand like this can have. Obviously, the numbers could be far higher.
Sure. And the store closures that we have been doing, do they have a bias towards any of company-owned or franchisee-owned models, or it is secular across both?
No, it's not biased towards anything. So it's a mix between the brands, between the models.
Okay. Lastly, just on a competitive positioning only, peers, be it on the menswear side or on the womenswear side, have been raising capital to either fund losses or maybe to expand. And, you know, several others have also filed DRHPs like Manyavar, Gokulas. So we being having, you know, a stronger balance sheet, so how do you see these competitive moves? Or, you know, we also, there might arise a need as in, you know, we may also go for a capital raise to expand aggressively going ahead.
See, we have a model which in normal times is can generate cash. So I don't think for, you know, organic expansion we will need cash. Again, in terms of losses and all, we have a strong balance sheet. We can sustain it. I think the worst is behind us any which ways. And even last year, you would have seen, despite the losses, without any fundraise, we have been able to deliver on a higher cash than what we started with. So I think we have some long-term opportunity in working capital, and we should be able to manage with that. The only time probably when, you know, we might need a fundraise or something is if suppose there's an inorganic opportunity. So that I can't comment on right now, but for organic growth and, you know, loss funding, I think we are well covered right now. We should not, we don't need to look at a fundraise at this point.
Sure, that's helpful. That's helpful. Thank you.
Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Raj Joshi from Ace Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, I have two questions. The first question is on the our rental part. Are we still negotiating with our vendors for the rental cut down?
Yes, there are a lot of negotiations which are still happening. There are a lot of discussions which are going on.
Okay. So on the as we are seeing in Maharashtra, there are still malls are shut, and the Maharashtra government has given the guidelines to open the mall. But the thing is that they have given the instruction that only the both vaccine who has taken, they can only go. So how we are thinking about our current quarter and subsequent quarter will perform?
Okay, so there are two things. One, you specifically spoke about Maharashtra malls. And second question is about overall performance. Is that or are they related? Sorry.
Both are related.
Okay, so see, you know, most of the country had been operational. Though yeah, there have been weekend lockdowns and timing restrictions, I think Maharashtra malls were the last to open. And you are absolutely right. With such kind of conditions, you know, it's very difficult to do meaningful sales out there. So we all are in discussions also with various agencies to figure out, you know, how this can be made slightly easier and more favorable for consumers to come to the malls. Apart from, see, some of these areas where restrictions are, in other places we are seeing a much healthier recovery. And especially last few days I was mentioning, things are looking much more positive. So we are very hopeful that, you know, if this trend continues and there's no significant, you know, third wave or something like that, festive could be a very strong season. See, unlike many other categories which have gone through lockdown and then saying pent-up demand and then, you know, people have been able to come and shop and take that out, I think with ethnic it has not happened yet. A lot of business in ethnic happens because of occasions, and for last 1.5 years, there's no opening up of that. So I believe there's a huge pent-up demand, and as and when things open up, I think we'll get to witness the same.
Okay. Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ankit Kedia from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
So a couple of questions I have. First is on Nykaa Fashion. You know, in 1 year or 2 years, they have been able to garner around 600-700 crores of GMV. And I see we are also present on Nykaa Fashion. Could you just share your experience? How is, you know, Nykaa Fashion compared to Myntra or other marketplace models? And is that, you know, business model similar to some of the others?
See, Ankit, I won't be able to share too much granular data because, you know, it's also about the business model with these people. But we have also seen a very rapid scaling up in Nykaa. Having said that, see, Myntra base and Nykaa base are just not comparable. So Myntra, even on a very, very large base, is still growing at a very attractive rate. So I guess, you know, Nykaa right now, higher growth rate is also because of very, very low base compared to Myntra. But our experience so far has been very encouraging on Nykaa as well.
Sure. And so my second question is on the gross margins. You know, while, you know, this quarter gross margins have been, you know, the second best in last four, five quarters, do you think with the online share increasing, you know, it is incrementally getting tough for us to go back to the old margins? While I know in the past con calls, we have always said that you should look at EBITDA margins on online and not at gross margins because they would be lower. So from our perspective, should we look at declining gross margins compared to FY20 while the EBITDA margin would be similar? Would that be a good guesstimate for us?
Yeah, Ankit, your understanding is bang on. See, with online, because of the way structurally the costs are, your gross margins will get slightly impacted. Now, it also depend upon, you know, what kind of share website has, what kind of share third-party marketplaces have. So all that will evolve. But yes, you know, historically we have been delivering X. Obviously, with the channel increase share of online, it will come down slightly. And again, at the PBT levels, I think all these get equated. So probably that would be the best metric, if you ask me. Taking into consideration all the below-the-line items, cost items, so that should be a more fair comparison.
Sure. And so are you seeing the, you know, any change in the delivery cost for online with Omni coming in now, from more and more stores coming in? So are you seeing the unit economics for online improving steadily over the last, you know, 1-2 years, or it pretty much remains the same?
No. We are seeing an improvement. So if you look at our own website also, I think all these parameters are improving. Because as I just mentioned, with Omni, the returns rate also dropped. And the moment returns rates drop, even at the same cost per delivery, your delivery cost comes down. We are also seeing higher number of repeat customers coming and much more repeat purchases happening, which gives us better, you know, ROI on our marketing marketing inputs. So we are definitely seeing an improvement in the profitability on the online channel side also.
Sure. That's helpful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ankit.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shivaji Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. So with competition heating up and a lot of listed players now announcing entry into the ethnic wear space, and also some of the private equity-backed unlisted players announcing plans to list in the next 1 to 2 years, do you feel that margins could be under pressure going ahead?
See, the thing is, if you ask me, the discount, the one impact of this is discounting. You know how it manifests in discounting. If you ask me, the peak we have seen was last year. This year onwards, there is some more, you know, rationalization in that. Having said that, see, I don't think too many players are coming in the same area where we are. Competition is definitely, you know, hitting up much more in the online value segment, which is where we don't play actually. So there probably, you know, it's much more sharper. The ranges where we play is about, you know, having a differentiated product at a slightly, you know, nastier and premium pricing. Out there is still very limited. And I guess, you know, whichever player comes in, given our supply chain strength, given our product cost to MRP matrices, I don't think we are in a very, we would be in an advantageous position to my mind. Because, you know, scale and all also will help. So while I see, you know, there could be some players coming and discounting and all getting more serious, but I think it will be restricted to some part of the business. That's our feeling right now.
Makes sense. Sir, and final question from my side is basically on the yarn and the cotton prices, which have been on a rise. So, you know, what could be the impact of this, you know, in terms of the price hike that we may need to take going ahead if they stay at these levels?
Yeah, that's a question that we grapple every day with. And see, so far, because we do a lot of job work of our fabrics, and then we have been able to do some, you know, reverse engineering on our products, we have been able to mitigate the risks to a large extent for monsoon festive season. Next spring summer 22, we are yet to place orders. I think because as a brand, we use multiple fabrics and it's not that the yarn prices have increased across. We are still able to substitute a lot of fabrics with, you know, slightly more reasonable fabrics. Some parts would be impacted. For that, probably, you know, in those specific product categories, we might have to take a slight price increase. So that we'll see when, you know, we are placing orders for spring summer.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Anand Daga for closing comments.
We take this opportunity to thank you for joining on the call. We hope we have been able to address your queries. For any further information, please do get in touch with us or SGA. Have a nice evening. Take care. Stay safe.
Thank you very much. On behalf of TCNS Clothing Company Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.